everybody. It's great to see you here. To hear the gospel. We ask the sweetest message unknown to man. So many haven't heard the gospel. So we're so glad you're here tonight to consider Him, the Lord Jesus. And the gospel is simply a presentation of Him, the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may God bless you tonight as we consider this simple, very simple message together. I'm going to read a few scriptures. They're not very long, and I'll read them quickly. If you want to try and go ahead, I'm just going to read them, and we'll start looking at them together. The first reading is in Psalm 36 and verse 1. Transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. Deuteronomy 32. For one more verse. That's straight after Numbers. Probably know. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 20. And he said, or God said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. So we've read of no fear, and we've read of no faith. Another reading, Hebrews 9:22. With the back of our Bibles, Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission or no forgiveness. Psalm 88, verse 18. The last verse in the psalm, Psalm 88. Which is known as the saddest psalm in the Psalms. Verse 18, lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. No lover, no friend. 1 John chapter 2. For just one verse there. And it's verse number 23. Whosoever denieth the Father, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. There we have the thought of no Father. And finally, John's Gospel, chapter 8, for just two verses there. John chapter 8. Verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Verse 24. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And that final thought is a very solemn one. No, we have no future. I was reading about a ship that hit a mine and went down. I think it must have been during maybe the World War II. The British admiralty stated that it was the Wilson liner. It was called the Runo. That's the name of the boat. And it was sunk by a mine in a known minefield. They knew that. And the statement they made was that they departed from the directions given, which would have ensured a safe voyage. That basically is what is wrong with the world. The world has departed from the directions given in the Word of God. And basically, the bottom line is that people have no fear of God today. Actually, in schools, young people are taught that there is no God. So their thinking is, well, if there's no God, I don't have anybody to fear. And the Bible's always been here, of course, and people have departed all over the world. It's nations of people, individuals in the nations, who just simply departed. I think still on your coins here, you have "In God We Trust." But most of Americans, Canadians, and British, and so on, generally, basically, most have departed from the directions given in the Word of God. And so no wonder nations get themselves in messes, and lives get themselves in messes. In visiting a few weeks ago, during tent meetings, I went into this yard, and the yard was all junk everywhere, you know, and I guess the bachelor lived in there. And I kind of peeked in the window, and he wasn't there. Everything was in disarray. He wasn't home, but he had a sign on his door. And it said this: "God bless this mess." I thought, well, at least he knows it's a mess. It's a mess. He was right. But many lives, you know, as the people said, I got myself into a mess. It happens. Take the step towards something that seems harmless. I mean, I can relate to this. I wasn't saved until I was 30 years old. I can remember as a young person. You take a step in a direction, departing from the directions of the Word of God, setting it not God's counsel. And then, next thing you know, your life's a mess. You're in a prison house. Can't get out. Now we read a verse, well, we read in Psalm 36 and 1, "There is no fear of God before His eyes." So that is why men and women get themselves in a mess. For God can bless the mess. Yes, He can. He can take someone's life that is like that. Mine was like that. It was a mess. And God is able to make changes from the inside out. And He can make someone's life. He can make your life tonight. If you're relating to what I'm saying, I don't know what your life is like, but I know what mine was like. Pleasure ruled my life, basically, pleasing me. But if that's how you look at your life, we want you to know that tonight, by a simple act of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will bless the mess. Yes, He will. And make your life into something beautiful, harmony, order. You'd be so happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing sometimes, "Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." That's not being baptized. That's probably the most unsuitable song for a baptism we could ever pick. But anyway, we all be singing at baptisms. It isn't water washes away sin. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes place in a moment of time. When a person decides, "I'm going to turn from going my own way. I realize I've departed from the directions given in the Word of God. And the reason is, there's no fear of God before my eyes." With our tongue we prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? That's basically the world. And there is a verse in Proverbs 19:23. I'll just read this verse, 19 and 23. It says this: "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied." The fear of the Lord. "And he shall not be visited with evil." Now, to these ones who say, "I guess I was like that. My tongue's up there with my tongue. I'll say what I want to say," and so on. "And my feet are mine, and they'll take me wherever I want to go. Who's Lord over me?" Nobody's Lord over me. I do what I want to do. There was no fear of God before my eyes. Now, in reply to this, this is what God says. It's very solemn. Psalm 14:1. There is the fool. I'd be better. Is he talking to me? Yes, he was. Till I came to Christ. That was me. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God or no God for me. No God to rule over me. I'm going to do my own thing. That's what I'm going to do. If it feels good, I'm just going to do it. Now the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the very beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. To understand, as the Bible says, that all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Whether we like it or not, we have to do with God. We do. We are all accountable to God, every single one of us. We think that we're all but lost in a crowd He doesn't see. We're not lost in a crowd. We might feel lost in a crowd, but God's eyes are upon every single individual. And we have to give an account to God at some time. And it is the fear of the Lord to understand that. That's the beginning of wisdom. You understand, sin's a terrible thing. It cost God His Son. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ His life, His death on the cross. After the suffering, humiliation that we heaped upon Him. On the cross He sinks down into the deep mire where there's no standing. And He was punished for our sins. For our sins? My sins? Yes, my sins. Your sins? Yes, your sins. God has made a way that we can be saved from sin. But because there is no fear of God before the eyes of men and women, no one turns to Christ. They don't do that. And the tragic thing in the world is stated in Isaiah 29:13, their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. God says, now, the fear of the Lord, they should be fearing, but it's taught not by my word, but by the precepts of men. Who are these men? Who are they? Graduated from high school? Wonderful, yes. I went on to university. Plus, well, that's wonderful. Well, I got a master's degree in science. Well, that's commendable. And now these men are telling us that we came from something that exploded the size of a pinhead, and all of a sudden we have a universe. Can we believe it? Isn't that amazing? How could we ever believe that? How can something come from nothing? If there's nothing, how can something come from nothing? It's just, really, it doesn't make any sense at all. And then life. These are only men. Keep in mind, these are men and women, just like us. And we're listening to them. Young people in universities and high schools are listening and saying, oh, that sounds good. Big bang. There it is. No God. No God for me. And then, here's the amazing thing. A law of science is this. Life cannot come from non-life. That makes sense. So where did life come from? That's a law of science. Life cannot come from non-life. There had to be life in the beginning. Obviously. And yet, God says, there's no fear of God before their eyes in the world because their precepts. The precepts are taught by men. It's terrible. Tragedy. How many are so deceived? I'm not going to door and somebody tells me I'm an atheist and I don't believe in God. I'm not going to get into a discussion with that man. He needs to hear the gospel. And we're so glad you're here tonight. If you're not saved, you hear the gospel. One man boldly stated that to me and knocked on his door, and that's the first thing he said to me. I don't believe in God. Don't believe the Bible. I'm an atheist. I said, you know what the Lord Jesus said in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did you know he said those words? Oh my, I stopped him. Because there's power in the Word of God. The Word of God is living. It's alive. And it's powerful and sharper. So God, so we can understand it. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit. When I hear the gospel, it makes me think. Just because it's God speaking. May God speak to you tonight. May you understand, I'm just a spokesperson for God. That's all that I am. I'm just simply a privileged man relating to you the wonderful gospel that can set you free tonight. But the very beginning is the fear of God. Most people don't think about that. We get lost in the crowd, as it were. I feel I am, and I'm just going my own way and getting older and older. But it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But we don't want to think about it. This is what it says, a verse in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. In other words, God's not judging anybody right now for their sin. He's not. Because of that, we know that. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Fully set. But there is judgment day coming. I can remember when I was young, and the things I mentioned, my life was a mess. Drugs, drinking, parties. I used to manage rock bands for a living and so on. And I can remember as a youth growing up, as I said, you take a step in one direction, next thing you know, your life's in a mess. The drinking, the drugs, the immorality, you find yourself trapped in there. Well, I'd be out with my friends, so-called, and a party or whatever it was. Not in your right mind. Oh, we're having a good time. I wouldn't even think about my mother and father. They brought me up quite strict. I'm glad they did. You'd be home by 12. You know, I'm only, what, 15 years old, 16 years old. That's a reasonable request. And we know that we don't want you to be drinking or doing drugs. Don't do that. Why are you living under my roof? You don't do that. I knew that. But I just forget about them. Just having a wonderful time, as I thought, with my friends. But you know when I would start to think about them? On the way home. And I'm hoping to myself, I hope Mom's not up. I hope she's in bed. Because she won't see me. You know, it's 2:30 in the morning. She just looks at me, she'll know what I've been doing. Just to smell me, she'll know what I've been doing. Oh, and there I see the light on. Oh, my mother's up. Now I'm afraid. I'm afraid now. Because I have to face her. And I've disappointed her. I've disobeyed her. And I feel terribly. And there's a fear. Now God says, the fear of the Lord is, now misquoting that, surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him. That's when I'm getting very near the great salvation of God. I think about that. Seriously, think about it. I'm accountable to God. I'm not getting away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything. Remember the thief on the cross that was saved? You know what led to his salvation? It was the fear of God. The other thief was saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're the Christ, why don't you get us down from here so I can enjoy life a few more years? Maybe steal a few more things or whatever. Obviously, if his life was sinful, he was being executed on the cross. But the man that was saved, remember what he said to him? He rebuked him. Dost not thou fear God? That led to that man's salvation. This thief who said that. He said, we're getting the just rewards. We're getting our due here. We deserve to be here. And so tonight, may God bless you. Dost not thou fear God? You know, sometimes people will come into gospel meetings and you're thinking about these things. They're so glad you're here. Because you know you have to be saved to go to heaven. You must be born again. He didn't say, well, it'd be a nice thing if you were born again. You must repent of your sins. You must turn from going your own way, or you'll never be in heaven, friend. Never will you be in heaven. When you do that tonight, salvation takes place in a single moment of time. It can take place tonight as you sit in your seat. Nothing has to be said. And you don't have to pray anything, say anything, do anything. I just put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm saved. And Salvation is of the Lord. So if I get convicted about my life and my sin, do understand, it's God. What a marvelous thing is that now? He's brought you here tonight to hear the gospel because He loves you and wants you to wake up and realize, what am I doing with my life? I don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been living my life as though there is no God. I haven't feared God at all. Isn't it a marvelous thing that He brought you here? That you might awaken to the realization that I'm accountable to Him and I'm not going on any longer in my sins. No way. I'm coming to Christ tonight. It often happens in gospel meetings. Somebody will come in, not even thinking about these things, but something miraculous happens during the meeting. It's God. May you understand that tonight. That's God. Now, if there's no fear, there'll be no faith. That is no faith in Christ. If I have no fear of dying, children in whom is no faith. Well, everybody is faith in something, I suppose. Like people who like to convince themselves there's no God and so on. Well, they have faith. What's the object of their faith? Well, the idea, the concept, the opinion that there is no God. Well, it's faith. Some people have faith and they're thinking, I'm going to get saved someday. I know I am. So where's their faith? Well, their faith is in that fact. They believe this. I will get saved someday, as though I can get saved whenever I want to. It doesn't work that way. If God speaks to your heart tonight. Tonight He wants you to be saved. There's nothing to go home with and ponder over and think about. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now, during this hour, is the day of salvation. God wants you to be saved tonight. People have their faith in religion, I'm a good person, and so on and so on. But the faith that saves, the only faith that saves, is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God says it's vain faith. 1 Corinthians 15 and 14 is empty. If my faith isn't in Christ 100%, thus is vain faith. James 2 and 26 calls it dead faith. There's no life in that. There's only life in Christ. The object's wrong. Acts 20 and 21, repentance toward God, that's the turning of my, changing my mind, the turning. You know, we sometimes sing, my old companions, fare thee well, I will not go with you to hell. Think about that. It does take some courage. It does. To think and say, all right, what's more important? Am I having friends that like me? Having fun? Or my being in heaven with Christ at the end of my life. So, you weigh it up. So, my old companions, like in my heart, my old companions know. What's most important to me is my eternal soul. I'm having accompaniment by music. I hear, that's okay. Musical accompaniment for the gospel. That's okay. Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what's more important? My acceptance in the world, my friends liking me, and so on. Should we weigh it up? Of course, your destiny is what's important. We're only here for one purpose, and that's to get saved, become a part of the church of God, made up of living stones, men and women, young and old, to put their faith in Christ. Our faith must be in Christ. I read a billboard, Yes, it was a billboard. I don't know what it was about. It said, be careful who you trust. Be careful who you trust. You know, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is what saves. Galatians 3:26 says, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I believe for many years I was already a child of God. Where did I ever get that? I think from the religions that I was in, it was in two. I think I heard from this man that I was a child of God. Okay, I guess I just believed him. I figured he must know what he's talking about. Turns out he didn't know what he was talking about at all. We're not a child of God until I'm born again. Galatians 3:26 says, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's when I become a child of God. When I trust Christ as my Savior. That's when the miracle takes place and I'm actually spiritually taken out of one kingdom, darkness, sin, the Satan's world, and placed spiritually into God's kingdom, the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm saved. If you trust Christ tonight, you can be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. I put my faith 100% in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I now turn from God, my sin, from going my own way. I turn now. And I now believe on Christ. He died for sinners. He died for me. I want to go to heaven. So if I have to trust Christ as my Savior to get there, I trust Him now, I receive Him now, and I do want Him to be Lord over me. I want to be a man of God now. I want to be a woman of God now. That's what I want. What pleases God, that's what I want. That's the repentance. And I simply believe what God has said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt feel saved. It doesn't say that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and do your very best from here on in. Thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say that. Would you believe that tonight? That sounds simple. Friend, believe it. The gospel message is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. A wonderful feeling has come with a Christian. So many are they're deceived by thinking, well, some feeling has to take place. Well, the feeling will come. Years ago in Britain, if a man wanted to become a soldier, he sat down in the office of where the, you know, a soldier was, whoever was in charge of signing people up, and some people, they couldn't even spell or anything, put an X by the mark. This is years and years ago. But the thing is, this sealed it. You want to be a soldier, you understand what you're saying. You know, you're going to turn your life over now, you know, to the military service of your country. He said, yes, I understand. Had a shilling. And the shilling was held out to this man, and he wanted to be a soldier, and he meant it. He took the shilling and left the office. Now you go to his friends and say, you know what? I am a soldier. I am. They say, you don't look like a soldier. You feel like one? No, I don't even feel like a soldier. But I am a soldier. Look what I've got in my hand. That's the shilling. That man said, the moment I accepted it, I was a soldier. I'm a soldier. And a few weeks later, he goes, gets a uniform on. He feels, oh, now I look like a soldier. I feel like a soldier, and so on. But it was the faith. If the taking the shilling made him a soldier, then he was a soldier. And so I take Christ as my Savior. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that makes me born again, a Christian, saved, and certain of heaven. That's salvation. Where there's no fear, there'll be no faith. And if there's no faith, there'll be no forgiveness. We need to be forgiven. Did you ever consider, I wonder why Christ died? Why did He go through that? Well, because there needed to be a way for us to be forgiven of our sins. That's why. We read the verse, didn't we? Without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And so the Lord Jesus did die in our place. He shed His blood, and the blood of Christ Jesus, our Lord, cleanses us from all sin. No forgiveness. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now the forgiveness takes place the moment I put my faith and trust in Him. He's the sole object of my faith. So tonight, if you're not saved, you're not forgiven. Your faith is not in Christ. You can't die unforgiven. We must be forgiven of our sins. That's why Christ died, that I might be forgiven of all my sins. Yesterday's, today's, tomorrow's, even the ones that haven't committed yet, under the blood. Saved, sure of heaven, in Christ, because God said so when I believe it. Would you believe that tonight? You can be forgiven tonight. A young explorer, several years ago this happened, at Long Rapids, Hay River, Alberta, Canada. He was found dead in a lonely hut with a dish which he had used for a desk across his knees. In his skeleton hand was the following letter. He wrote this to his mother. "The sun is shining, Mother, but I feel so cold. I can still walk a little, but that's about all. There is no blood in me because I have not eaten for so long. I haven't seen another human being for 40 days. There are some magazines here, but the stories are so silly. I have some cards. I don't care for solitaire. The only thing I worry about is if God will forgive my sins." See, now he knows the end is near. He's thinking about that. But it's a sad story. He obviously didn't know the way to heaven, did he? He didn't understand. He wouldn't be worried about his sins if Christ was his Savior. And you know, here's what I'd like to impress upon you. If God would do this, you may leave suddenly. Imagine that. You're just gone. I was at a very sad funeral just a few weeks ago in St. Stephen, where I live. Toby was his name, 21 years old. He was 2 weeks into his 21st year. And I knew that boy. He was a boy. We had gospel tent meetings out where he lived outside of St. Stephen. He'd come to the mall, come to the meetings at night. I do not know if he knew Christ as his Savior. But summer's here, July's here, he and two others driving in their car. I don't think they were drinking or anything, but you know, just that when we're young, we don't think about these things. You know, the pedal to the metal, you know, away we go. And suddenly, he can't make the turn. Instantly, he's killed and his friend, just like that. And that can happen. It can. And that, friend, if you have no forgiveness, you can't go to heaven. You can't go. You look at Christ and you know it too. You know it. You must have a word to say. Imagine, you were in a gospel meeting tonight, just like this. He'll just bring this to your mind. You were told, plainly, clearly, you needed to be forgiven before you died. And you didn't do anything about it. You didn't. I saw, I didn't see this, so I read about a tombstone in the Evergreen Cemetery in New York. And there's one word carved on it, just one word. Well, I guess the man's name, the years of the birth, death, but one word, forgiven. That sums it all up. In other words, the man who occupied the body in the grave at some point in his life turned from his sin, put his faith in Christ, and he was forgiven. And he wanted that to be put in his tombstone. Well, could you have somebody do that for you? Could you instruct your mother, your father, your wife, or your husband to do that for you? I want forgiven on my tombstone because I know I am forgiven. He's a great forgiver, you know. He'll forgive you tonight, all your sins. But if I have no fear, I have no faith, there'll be no forgiveness. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, no friend. Imagine that. You think you have friends, I thought I did too. No. You must have heard, I've heard this before. Oh, we hear about the accident. Maybe this Toby. Well, that's too bad. Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, that's too bad. You know, that's too bad. Anyway, hey, what time's the party start? We better get going, guys. That's the way the world is. His friends? No, there is a friend. He wants to be your friend. But if I won't receive him as my Savior and Lord, then I'll live my life friendless. He won't be my friend. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me. And you don't want to die without him as your friend. Your family and friends should hold your hand, even hug you while you're leaving your body, perhaps if you're dying in a hospital bed. But you know, when you die, you leave the body. There's nobody holding your hands. You'll go right straight down if you're not saved. May God impress that upon your heart. Don't try and tell yourself, no, it's not true. It's true. Because the Lord Jesus Christ stated it again and again and again. There's heaven for those who are saved, and there's hell for Christ rejecters. That's what hell is full of tonight. Men and women, young and old, who said in their heart, no, no, I want to live for me. And they did. They got what they wanted. And now they're in a place separated from God for all eternity. Didn't want him as their friend. Would you have him as your friend tonight? What a friend he is. We sing something. What a friend we have in Jesus. Friend. Loving. He knows all about me and loves me just the same. That's him. Unfailing one. If you die with Christ, you die with a friend. Take you right into glory as soon as you leave your body. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. David wasn't afraid to die. King David, he said in Psalm 23, if I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I won't fear. I'm not afraid of the outcome of death now, because thou art with me. What a wonderful friend he is. But if you never trust him as your Savior, then you're going to live your life friendless and die friendless. And you'll have no father. No father. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Children of God, again, by faith in Christ Jesus. I used to say the Lord's Prayer all the time. Our Father which art in heaven. See, it was our Father. It wasn't my Father. I was to be reborn into the family of God. Then he's my Father. He'll become your Father tonight if you want his Son as your friend, as your Savior. He'll become your Father. What a Father he is. How tragic. Most people are living friendless. And they die an orphan. It doesn't have to be that way with you. And finally, no future. No future. This is it. Think about that. The only heaven you'll ever know is this. No heaven. No future at all. Because the Lord Jesus said, you die in your sins. You know, people sometimes say, that's how you interpret the Bible. Well, the devil would like you to believe that. Did he not talk plainly and clearly? He said, if you die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come. Well, could he not make it any more clear? No, he couldn't, could he? If you die unforgiven, if you die without being personally connected to me as your Savior, whither I go, he's gone to heaven, we know that. He says, you can't come. You don't have a future. No future. Leave your body and down into utter darkness. Sometimes people say, I can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Well, while you're alive, there is light. The light is Christ. Your life might feel like you're in a black tunnel, but he's there waiting for you. But my friend, if you die without Christ, there's no light at the end of that tunnel. You know, say, well, I think you've got a bright future ahead of him. May God impress upon your heart, you don't have a bright future ahead of you right now if you're not saved. Very dark one. I saw something in a bank one time. Ask how you can secure your future for only $50 a month. Your financial future. Sounds good. But only God can secure your future in eternity by trusting him as your Savior. How tragic that you'll never see light. Psalm 49. If you die in your sins, enjoy the light. Enjoy it. Enjoy tomorrow morning. Because we tell you solemnly, we're so glad you've come, but you need to be saved. May you understand that. Come to Christ tonight. Because there's no light in that terrible place. Darkness. Outer darkness, it's called. A lady had a parrot. I may have mentioned this before, but it's quite solemn. She taught the parrot to say a few things. When she put the cover on the cage at night, it was dark in there, and she would say goodnight, and he would say goodnight. In the morning, she'd take the cover off. Oh, the light. And she'd say good morning. Yeah, the parrot, good morning. Well, one day, the parrot got out of the cage by mistake. And he had an enemy. Oh, yes, a big fat cat, always looking up at him in the cage. Cats are pretty quick. The cat got him. The woman heard the howl and the parrot screeching. She came in and then she separated them. He didn't look too harmed. You know, two feathers on the floor, put him back in the cage, folded the cat, and that was that. That night she put the cover on the cage, and She said good night, and the parrot said good night. Next morning, she got up and took the cover off the cage, and she said good morning, and he said good night. Good night. She said good morning. He said good night. You know, like for 25 years, he'd said good morning. And she looked, and both the eyes were gone. The cat had clawed out his eyes. There would never be another good morning for that parrot. Maybe sometimes people say to you, good morning. My friend, nobody in hell will say that to you. It's darkness. May God bless you tonight. We're so glad you've come. You know, the gospel is a message of love. It's good news, friend. But in order to get in on the good news, you've got to understand the bad news. And the bad news is we're all lost to God. We're sinners. We need to be saved. That's the good news. You can be saved tonight. May God bless you, and if we can be of any help to anyone, we'd be so happy to talk to you further after the meeting. But again, salvation takes place in a single moment of time. You can be saved right now. In your heart of hearts, turn from your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to Thee and thank Thee that we've had this opportunity tonight to consider eternal matters, Father, that which really matters, eternity. Bless Thy word to the hearts of any here, Father, we pray, who are in need of a Savior, Thou knowest. We ask these things and give thanks in that precious and lovely name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thank you.